Good evening. It's definitely good to be with you this evening. And like I say, with Mike's tearjerker lesson this morning, you know, it kind of makes us think sometimes about how life's going to go. But, you know, lots of roller coasters in life, or ups and downs, things to be proud about, things to be happy about. And graduation time is always like that. And we just want to say thank you to the graduates this year, and hope everything goes well for you. This evening's lesson will be coming out of Nehemiah. And if you'll be turning to Nehemiah, and we're going to look at chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. And this is Nehemiah's grief for the exiles. And then while you're turning there, we're just going to kind of set up the lesson this evening. Nehemiah's grief for the exiles. We're going to see that Nehemiah's, he had concerns, and we're going to also see his sincerity for the exiles. We'll see that Nehemiah is also an example that we should follow because of his trust in God. Also, God knows the sincerity of our prayer life and of our prayers. Point number one this evening, you know, we're going to talk about, we'll go with Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 11 this evening. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. You know, Nehemiah, we'll just go ahead and read that. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Verse 8, remember the Lord which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there, and I will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. Verse 10, they are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name, and make your servant successful today, and grant him compassion before this man. Now I was the cupbearer to the king. So we know that Nehemiah was the cupbearer. And as we look there, Nehemiah, back in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4 there, you know, Nehemiah wept and mourned for days. He was doing this, for he knew that they had not been doing what they should have been doing. He was fasting and praying before God in heaven. And we know that this was, fasting and praying was something that they did. You know, it's a privilege to be able to pray to God whenever we want or whenever we need to. But more often than not, we tend to pray when things aren't going our way. You know, we sometimes forget that, as Rick mentioned in his prayer, you know, God is in control. You know, we sometimes forget that. We forget that God is in control and not us. Many of us like control. We like knowing that we have that control. We tend to give ourselves the credit when in all actuality, God helps us more than we know. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, James chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible reads, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. We need to have an effective prayer life. We need to have that effective prayer life. Nehemiah had the mind that we should have over sins. You know, he wept and mourned for days. You know, are we as sorrowful as we should be at sin we have committed? Well, we should be. We can't have the attitude of the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, verses 11 through 13. Luke chapter 18, verses 11 through 13. The Pharisee prayed to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. And then he tended to categorize here the others, like swindlers, the unjust, the adulterers, or even like this tax collector. You know, then he talked about things that he had done. He fasted twice a week. He paid tithes of all that he had. But the tax collector had the right type of attitude. The tax collector was unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven. He was unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven. He was beating his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You know, we all fall short of the glory of God. But it starts with us admitting that we are a sinner, that we have faults. But many times God grants us mercy even though we don't deserve it. Second thing I want to mention is we're going to talk about Nehemiah's prayer here. Nehemiah's prayer. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verses 5 through 11. And we'll kind of break this down a little bit. In verse 5 there, he says, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven. He says, the great and awesome God. You know, we do have an awesome God. We have an awesome God. We sing the song, our God is an awesome God. And as we need to make sure that we believe that He is an awesome God. We need to always keep that in mind. God preserves the covenant. He preserved the covenant then, and He preserves the new covenant as well now. We are blessed to be under a better covenant. We're blessed to be under a better covenant. We now have forgiveness of sins. We now have that. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 3. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And also in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. You know, we are under the better covenant and blessed to be able to have forgiveness of sins. Also in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, and this cleansing that He's talking about, it's a continual cleansing. He continually cleanses us when we ask for forgiveness. We need to realize that we have sin. The hard part is admitting our faults. That is the hard part. Nehemiah knew about God's loving kindness. He knew about God's loving kindness and to those who love God and keep His commandments. And also Nehemiah, in verses 6 and 7, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Nehemiah, he asked God to listen. He asked God to listen. You know, he was needing God's attention so he could confess his sins. You know, like I said, he'd been praying day and night on behalf of the sons of Israel, confess their sins and his own. He said, I and my father's house have sinned. He seemed very sorrowful. You know, I have to wonder at times how sorrowful we are or how sorrowful we should be. You know, sin should be shameful, but we can overcome it. We can overcome it. God's commandments can be hard to follow if we don't submit to His will. You know, we sing the song, I Surrender All. And do we do that? Do we surrender all to Him? And that's what we have to do. We need to surrender all. Nehemiah was wanting God to hear his prayer. You know, he admitted in verse 7 that they acted corruptly. They acted corruptly and have not kept the commandments. You know, he knew they hadn't done the right things. Even though God knows the wrongs we do, he still wants us to tell him we are sorry. Or tell him, let him know that we are sorrowful. You know, he remembered the words spoken to Moses. He remembered the word spoken to Moses. It says here, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. Nehemiah knew about the power of God and what he could do. Many times we forget about all the things that God can do. God is all powerful. He used people with a purpose in mind. He used people with a purpose in mind. We have a purpose in this life, and that is to do His will. You know, confessing sin and confessing our faults is hard because we are afraid of our punishment. You know, it's always better to tell the truth. Romans chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Romans chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. The Bible reads, "For there is no partiality with God. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law." Verse 13, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified." And if you were to go down a couple more verses in verse 16, "On the day when according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus." So nothing we do is in secret. Nothing we do is in secret. And also James chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible reads, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." Nehemiah also knew God keeps His promises. God keeps His promises. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 9, it talks about, you know, "But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, God would bring to them to the place He chose so His name would dwell." Can we fall away from grace? Yes, we can. We can become worldly, but we can come back. The good thing about falling away is that we can come back to God. You know, guilt is something that we have to deal with, but it can keep us down if we allow it to. But none of us deserve God's grace. None of us deserve God's grace. He gives it to us freely. Do we represent Christ as we should? Are we being the example we need to be to others? Are we letting our light shine? You know, the great thing about prayer is we can pray anytime we want. You know, when do we tend to pray the most? And the most times we tend to pray when things aren't going our way. When things aren't, you know, it's easy to say, "My prayer is not being answered." You know, or "My prayers aren't being heard." But more often than not, our prayers are answered, whether we see them or not. You know, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You know, we need to realize that we are all sinners. We fall short. We just can't let sin rule our lives. Nehemiah recognized God's power and His strong hand. He recognized that. You know, in Psalm 86 and verses 9 through 12. Psalm 86 verses 9 through 12. And this is David's prayer. "All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God." Verse 11. "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever." Nehemiah was a servant of God's, and so are we. You know, later on, Nehemiah, he wants to help rebuild the walls. But right now, he understood, you know, it got destroyed, and it was from their disobedience. You know, we are told to repent of our sin, and that is pretty much what he's doing in this section. We need to allow God to use us for whatever purpose we are brought into this world. The world will try to dictate what we are, and we need to be able to distinguish good and evil. We need to be able to distinguish those things and make sure that good prevails. The good needs to prevail. We cannot allow Satan to entice us into sin. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. The Bible reads, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." It's talking about a spiritual death there. And we can become lost, and we don't want to do that. And also, if we back to Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 11, talked about there that he was beseeching out the Lord. He was beseeching out the Lord. Do we seek the Lord as we should? Do we seek the Lord as we should? Our relationship to God needs to be strengthened daily. We can do it by prayer. We can do it by reading his word. Psalm 46 and verse 1. Psalm 46 and verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." You know, that's very comforting to us. And trouble will come. And there will be many times where we may think we are alone, but we are not alone. And that's very comforting. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Psalm 46 and verse 10. "Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." We need to submit to God and his will. Sometimes we get disappointed when things aren't going our way, and we get disappointed when things aren't going our way, or at least we think they ought to go. But we just can't forget that God is in control. Nehemiah was also asking for compassion for the ones who revere his name. Are we as reverent to God as we should be? You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The Bible reads, "The conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies for every son. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." So we have to make choices that sometimes will not be popular with everyone else. It might even cost us friendships. But we have to take a stand and do the right things. We can thank Nehemiah for his sincerity and understanding of God and his will. There was a remnant left of his people, and he saw them in distress after the wall had been broken down and the gates had been burned with fire. He knew the consequences, though, and of why it was destroyed. You know, like many times, there was a remnant, but it's almost like they got another chance to do things right. We too get second chances to turn things around. We don't have to stay in a sinful state of mind. Paul could have stayed in his sinful state, but he became one of our strongest advocates for Christ. David turned his life around after Nathan rebuked him for his sin with Bathsheba. We may deserve second chances, but God is very patient with us. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Doubt can get us in a lot of trouble. Doubt can get us in a lot of trouble. James chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8. James chapter 1 verses 6 through 8. "But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Verse 7. "For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." We don't want to be unstable in our Christianity. We should want to follow Nehemiah's example of prayer life, because he knew his task was to help rebuild the walls. And he knew it wasn't going to be an easy task. You know, his strength came from God, but he prayed himself. He prayed himself and others who were helping him. He prayed about those. We have those who help us shape and mold us into the person that we are today. We must understand that our strength comes from God and no one else. We should pray for those who help us in our times of need, whether it be financial or spiritually or emotionally, or being just a good listener. We need to pray for those who help us. And also, we need to be better at doing the same things. You know, hopefully we are helping someone with their Christian walk. You know, we are to bear one another's burdens. We must bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to himself so that you too will not be tempted. In verse 2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. The Lord knows that we need encouragement. The Lord knows that. He knows we need encouragement. And also we need to be encouraging ourselves. May we strive to do God's will and help those who are in need and not let them slip through the cracks. And you know, it's easy to forget our duties to each other. Let us be diligent in everything that we do. And may it be to glorify our Father who's in heaven. He deserves the credit, not us. This evening, if you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you need prayers of the church and you're struggling in your life and your walk with Christ, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitations.